7, right, Dad? Just making sure there wasn't an extra one I needed to remember. But you know, it's interesting because as I tell people about sharing the gospel, you stood up too fast. See what happens? When I tell people about when they say, well, I like to witness to people. And I'll say, well, what does that look like? And they'll say, well, they'll tell me what they do wrong, and I'll tell them how they're wrong. And I'm thinking, you know, that's not really the gospel. If we don't get to his story, we've missed the point. And so, actually, I want you to pray for me. I'm working with Frances Scott. She's my guinea pig. And I'm working through trying to build a strategy by which I can teach you how to tell in 5 minutes or less, how to tell a story to get to your story, to get to his story, so that you can encourage him to become part of the story. And so we're working on that. Frances is really helping me out a lot, just taking shorthand notes. And I'm sure she keeps looking at me like, why don't you write this down? And I keep trying to tell her my thoughts change every time we talk. So if I wrote it, it would just look like a big scratch mark and things over it. Romans chapter 1, talking about the gospel. Won't you stand with me? That's your cue, Craig. Good job, buddy. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 25. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities or attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over into their lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Let's pray. Lord God, today, would you use me as a vessel? Would you simply speak to your people? Father, that we could leave this place transformed into the image of Christ. Father, start with me. Because that's my desire, is to be the first to lay my life back on the altar of where I continuously get off. Father, keep me there. I lay my life before you today and ask you, Father, to change me. And Father, my hope is, our prayer collectively is, Lord, change us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today the question is, last week was, what is the gospel? I don't have two hands. What is the gospel? This week it is, what about those who have never heard? This is going to be difficult. It doesn't stand up because it's cold, so it just falls down. Okay. We're just going to put it away and deal with it. Okay. So what about those who've never heard? Let me just start by, this is going to be a real quick sermon about what you thought tonight was going to be about. And then I'm going to get to the long part, okay? Let's get to the hard part first, which should be easy for us. What about those who've never heard? Because when you start telling people about the gospel and how Jesus is the only way, they're going to ask you, what about the Ethiopians? What about the pygmies? You know, what about those guys who have never heard the gospel? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who did Jesus say, what did Jesus say was the way to the Father? Wait, help me out again. John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You know, people want to debate, was Muhammad real? Did he ascend? They want to debate a lot of stuff. But here's the thing. Jesus said, there is no way to the Father except through him. And so, if you're going to talk about, and by the way, it's interesting that people who talk about Muhammad also talk really well about Jesus. They claim him to be a prophet. But if the prophet says he's the only way, maybe we should listen. And so, I just want to make sure you catch this tonight. If you don't catch anything else, catch this and we'll be done with it. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And if there is no way to the Father except through Jesus, then no one who is living life the best they can in a place where they've never heard of Jesus, none of them are going to heaven if the Bible's real. Now, I know you and I don't like that answer. I'll tell you why we don't like it. That's what we're going to get to the rest of the sermon about. The reason we don't like it is, number one, that makes God sound unfair. We're going to get to why it's not unfair. The second reason we don't like it is because as Christians, we know that means we're obligated to do something about it. And most of us want to throw money at it. And money's not the answer. You know, the harvest, Jesus didn't say to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the money is few. It's not what he said. Matter of fact, we used to know this about God. My father owns a cattle. Oh, y'all know it too, huh? Money's not an issue for God. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Money's not a problem for God. He can cause wicked kings to pay for a wall to be rebuilt for the Israelites. Then trust me, there's enough money in the world to do what we need to do. The problem is, we're not willing to do it. I love the fact nobody amen that. That's good. It means I need to be preaching the sermon. So I want to just kind of look at Romans, and I want you to start with this idea that no matter how good you think you are, no matter how good someone is worshiping the God of the sun, how many gods are there? And are you sure? Now, what about the other gods? Okay, I'm just making sure we're on the same card here. If there are no other gods, and someone is worshiping the sun god, who is he trying to worship? He's trying to worship God. He just doesn't know how to talk to him. There is not, no one has bridged the gap for him. When this one's going to hurt, y'all. When a Muslim prays to Allah, who is he trying to pray to? To God. The word Allah means God. Okay? He's trying to pray to God. When people say, there is but one God, Allah and God are the same God, that is true and false. There is one God. And they're trying to pray to him, but they don't know him. How do I know they don't know him? It's impossible to know the Father without having a relationship with the Son. Can we agree there? If we can agree there, we can move on. Because here's the thing. If that's true, then no one outside of people who've given their lives to Jesus, none of them, if you haven't done that, you're not going to heaven. Which means, the bad news is, they're going to hell. There are some really amazing, cool, awesome people in third world countries who are dying today and going to hell. I had a video tonight. I'm not going to show it to you because it was just too much reading. I couldn't keep up. And so I thought, if I can't keep up, then pastor's in trouble. So, and here's what's interesting. It's a 3-minute video. And the video's over. It says, we dedicated this video to the 89 people who died while you watched it. And to the 214 children who were just born into a world who doesn't know about Jesus. In the time that you just watched the video. I just thought that was interesting. I told Lori, I said, I really wanted to show the video just for that. Because in 3 minutes, according to this video, in 3 minutes, 89 people died without knowing Christ. Why do we know that? Because 89 people died in a country where we know they don't know about Jesus. And 214 were born into that world, which means if they died tomorrow, they would also be in hell. And whose problem is that? Whose problem is that? That's our problem. It's our problem. I mean, you need to catch that. Jesus did his part. The Father came in the form of flesh, gave his life for our sake so that we could be forgiven. And then he gave us a commandment. In your going, make disciples. It's interesting, though, that that scripture says in your going. And I actually heard someone recently say, well, I haven't been going through Africa, so it's not my problem. Here's the thing. I love basketball. Matter of fact, my buddy Jeffrey just left. He had an emergency. His wife takes care of a woman, or a man, an older person in the house, and he's now being rushed to the hospital. So that's why Jeff had to leave. But Jeff and I, we'll be driving on the road, and we'll go past the basketball court just to see if anybody's playing. I'll be dressed like this, and I'll drive back past it. I just want to know if I want to go home and change. Does that make sense to everybody? And so I live my life, when it comes to basketball, I live my life thinking, if I have an opportunity, I'm going to go play. And the way as Christians we should live our life is, if I have an opportunity to go to a place where they've never heard of Jesus, I'm going to pack my bags and I'm out of here. That's the way we should live our life. Let me show you what that looks like. If you don't have a passport and you want to live that way, you should go get a passport. Because a lot of you are limiting God. You're going, well, I'd go to Africa if God called me. No, you wouldn't. You don't even have a passport. So the best thing you're doing is lying to yourself. Because if you want to be ready and willing to go, then be ready and willing to go. Now, let's go to the verse. Oh, that was free. Romans chapter 1. I want to just show you a couple things as we walk through the verse. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the power of salvation, everyone who believes, to the Jew and then also to the Greek. Again, catch what my dad said last week. It is the power of God for salvation. There is no other power. The gospel is the only answer. Okay, let's move on. For in it the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith. What does that mean? It means the same faith that saved Abraham is the same faith that saves you. They believed in a Messiah to come. You believe in the Messiah who came. Neither of us see him. But one day, one day we shall see him. Verse 18, because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. The word suppress means to hold back or to hold to yourself. Can you catch this for a minute? If you have the truth in you and you're not telling people who have never heard, you're these people he's talking of. Those who have suppressed. See, we normally think suppress means, well, we tried to get Bibles into a third world country and they stopped us. Okay, that's suppressing. But it's just as bad if you have the truth and you're not willing to tell them because it might cost you money to go to a third world country. It might cost you your life to go to a third world country. And here's what's interesting. Some of us don't even tell our neighbors about Jesus. And if you have the truth and you won't tell, then you're the ones he's speaking of. Because you're holding the truth in yourself. Let's go on. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, or seen within them, because God has made it evident to them. You see, if you know truth, it's not because one day you got smart. It's because God revealed himself to you. Why do we love God? Because he first loved us. It's interesting that we look at people's lives and we say, well, you know, the reason they're in that situation is you fill in the blank. But let me do that for you. The reason, let me do several for you. One of the reasons a lot of you are in here tonight is because you were raised in church. One of the reasons you're in here tonight is because you live in America. One of the reasons you're in here is you had access to a Bible. Now put yourself in a third world Muslim country. Put yourself in a place, let's say like Kazakhstan, where 13, or even Asia, any part of Asia. Put yourself in a place where 13% of the people even know a Christian. I'm going to give you that stat in just a minute. Only 13% even know a Christian. Or people who claim to be Christian. They're probably not even Christian. Put yourself there and think to yourself, now, would I still be in church? Would I still be a Christian? Well, the answer is obviously yes, because God is sovereign. And if he called you by name, he'd have called you by name anyway. That's the good news. But the bad news is there are people over there who they're waiting for you and I to go and tell. And some of you say, well, I'm 80, fill in the blank. I'm old. You know, I'm pretty sure that if the Bible told people not to let people look down upon their age when they were young, you also shouldn't let them look down on you when you are old. I heard my dad preach a sermon one time. I'm trying to put it over his head a lot more often, where he said older people should be the most dangerous for Jesus. I can't tell you how many times I hear y'all talk about you can't wait to get to heaven. If you can't wait to get to heaven, then why aren't you doing things that might help you get there? Am I hurting anybody's toes yet? I wasn't looking at you, Pastor Neil. No. If you have the truth, but you're not sharing it, then you are suppressing the truth. And the Bible says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in themselves or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known is evident because God made it evident to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that all men are without excuse. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says that the stars were put in the sky. Why? They were to serve as signs and be for seasons. In other words, you could look at the sky and you could figure out what season it is. But the first part is it will serve as signs. Why? Because God, in Romans chapter 1, God told Paul, the stars in the sky, everything you see, those are the attributes of God clearly seen through nature, so that all men are without excuse. I wrote this down today because I never can say it twice the same way. Knowing that there is a God through creation is enough to condemn you, but does nothing to save you, because you are not saved by what you see, but by your faith in the one whom you cannot. Listen to me. When we see the attributes of God, when people in other countries see the attributes of God around them, they try to give it a name. And they call it Allah. They call it, go to Hindu and all the different gods. They have millions of gods. Because they're trying to explain the unexplainable. But here's the thing. When they see it and they know there's a God, that knowing there's a God causes them to be condemned, not saved. Because it's enough knowledge to see it that you should seek the Lord. But the Bible says this, there's no one who seeks the Lord. No, not one. Why? Because we don't seek the Lord. The Lord seeks us. At some point, then we become, as the Bible says, we're going to read in just a minute, 2 Corinthians 5:20, we become Christ's ambassadors. We're the ones that are supposed to seek out to save those that are lost. Because that's what the Bible says the Father's looking to do. He's looking to seek and save that which is lost. You and I are supposed to be doing the same thing. Do what you see your Father doing. At age 12, Jesus said, didn't you know I'd be in my Father's house? About my Father's business? What is the business of your Father? If it's not to win the loss to him, what is his business? Because let me be honest with you. I'm so thankful, Pastor. Let me thank you again that we don't have business meetings here. Pastor, thank you. Because I'm going to tell you something. Business, the business meetings of the church, God doesn't have, I want to get to heaven one day and God go, I had nothing to do with that. Because I wish we would fight about how much money we gave to missions instead of fighting over what color the carpet is. It's craziness to me. But here's the thing. Here's the problem with the countries over there. Here's the problem with people who have never heard the gospel. Number one, they're hard to get to. Number two, if you got there, you wouldn't know what to say. And third, even if you knew what to say, you wouldn't know how to say it. And so it seems like an unachievable goal. But with God, what's impossible? All things are possible with Him. So what's impossible? Nothing. And so at some point, we've got to get to the point where we catch the question. Here's the question for tonight. What about those who've never heard the gospel? And I've already given you the easy answer that's kind of hard to deal with, which is if they don't have the gospel, they're not going to heaven, which means we better do something. But as I thought of the question, what about those who never heard the gospel? Here's what my brain went to. What about them? What about them? Because here's the way the church views it. I don't mean this church. I mean the universal church. Here's the way I grew up thinking about missions. I thought about it when a missionary came to church. I thought about it when the RA or the GA person made us watch a stupid slideshow. And when that boring missionary came and made us watch slideshows. Y'all remember the... And then it gets stuck. Y'all remember that one? Hated those things. They were boring. It's the reason I told God I ain't never going to Africa. It's just not going to happen. And then I went to Africa. Anyway, so out of sight, out of mind. I just wonder, maybe we should be putting pictures up all the time of people in other countries and that they're lost. One of the videos I was going to show you tonight just has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pictures. And one of the videos says, I said hundreds, I don't know how many are there. Here's what it says. It says, if you were to count the number of people, more than 2 billion people who live in countries with no access to the gospel, it would take you 200 years just to say their names. If you started today as a child, you couldn't get through them. That's a horrible, horrible task, a horrible obligation, and yet a wonderful, wonderful thing for people who want to do the Father's business. Amen? Let me give you some stats real quick, and we're going to get back to the Bible. Only 10.4% of Muslims in Asia personally know a Christian, whereas 67.8% of Muslims in North America know a Christian. So Muslims in America are hearing something, but only 10% of Muslims over there even know a Christian. And by the way, Christian over there means anyone who calls himself a Christian. Do y'all know people like that who ain't? Well, we can't say they're not. We really can't. But I know people who say they're Christians who act like the devil. And if you ask them how they got saved, they don't have a clue. And so I just have to say, I doubt it. And like, for instance, I moved to Madagascar and it said 62% of the people in Madagascar are Christians. I didn't meet one along my roads. I met a lot of people who said they were Christians. But I said, how did you become a Christian? They said, well, I've always been a Christian. I was born a Christian. And so they're cultural Christians, but they have no relationship with Jesus. And so 10.4% of Muslims even know a Christian. Only 13.3% of all Muslims worldwide say they know a Christian. Among Hindus and Buddhists worldwide, only 14% of them know a Christian. And Asia is the most isolated continent with only 13.3 of more than 3.6 billion of them. They only know 13% of them who even claim to be Christian. Let me give you a scary stat. Of all the money we give to missions, Pastor, with the IMB even. Actually, this is an IMB stat, so it's probably IMB. International Mission Board. Of all the money that goes there, the UUPC, the unreached, unengaged people groups, meaning there's less than 2% Christian in their people group, and there's no church there that's evangelical, and there's really no access to the gospel whatsoever. You know what percentage of the monies we give? That's UUPC. You know, unreached just means we don't have anybody there. You know how much percentage of money goes to reach those people? out of every $100, 1 cent. Let me say it again. 1 cent. Now you'd say, well, that's just bad priorities on our part. No, it's not. You know why we only spend 1 cent? Nobody's willing to go. Nobody's willing. Listen, I'm part of that problem. When we started to go, we started talking about where they want us to go. And they were like, Kazakhstan, it's a great place. My wife's like, I ain't going to nothing that ends in Stan. Am I lying? I mean, she's like, I'm sorry, it was true. Now, if the Lord had called us there, we'd have gone. He's scared as we would have been, we'd have gone. But we obviously weren't called to Kazakhstan. But we were willing to go wherever. But most of the reason we're not spending money there is not because we don't have it. We've got the money. Most people who want to go and be on mission for the Lord want to not... Listen, this is stat crazy. Most of them don't want to go to UUPC. They don't want to go to Unreached Unengaged. They don't even want to go to Unreached. They want to go to countries where Christians are rampant, but there's some lost people. That's called America, guys. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. 1 cent. But it's not because the money's not there. It's because people aren't willing to go. Why is that? Well, it's because we're afraid for our lives. If I go, I could die. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And so the life I now live, I'll live by faith. Okay, so here's the promise. Revelation 7 verse 9 says, this is what the IMB stands on. It says, there will be a people from every nation, from every tribe, from every tongue, knowing and worshiping the Lord Jesus in that day. Amen? Here's the promise. There is going to be somebody from every single people group. I didn't say how many. Just said somebody. Which is also an interesting thing, because I've heard more since being in this church about the rapture and about the day of Jesus coming again and about heaven than I've heard of any church in my life. Now, part of that is because y'all study more than most people I've ever been to in church in my life. And part of that's because y'all are kind of closer to getting there. Just being honest. Oh, wait, I do have gray hair, and I might beat you there. It's a race at this point, I'm just saying. But here's the thing. If we're really that excited about going, then why not do whatever we need to do and not worry about what happens? Really. Why not just say, God, I am available. What do you want of my life? God, I'm retired. I got no job. What do you want me to do? Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to fulfill some of these things. I'm working right now for us as a church to go to Laredo, which isn't even out of this country yet. Although you get there and you'll think you're out of this country. But we're working on having a summer trip so we can go out and see, maybe even two. And then from there, next year, we're going to try to go into Mexico, maybe a little further. We're going to stretch you. But here's the thing. You know, you can't do that stuff until you get a passport. You can't do that stuff until you decide that it's important. And here's the news. Here's the bad news. Not the gospel, not the good news, but the bad news. If we don't go share it, people are going to hell, and they have no choice in the matter. Why do I know that? Well, let's go to a scripture verse that you can prove that to you. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 15. Romans 10, 9 through 15. Verse 9 is the verse we love, man. I love this verse. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they're sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing. And how in the world will they ever hear the message if somebody's not telling them? And you know, it's unfortunate that we always look around and go, well, you know, I'm past that now. I hear it in Sunday school all the time. Somebody says, well, we need children. Matter of fact, Carrie right now needs children's workers. And by the way, if you've not turned in a spiritual gift inventory, she won't be calling you because that's how we're getting your names. We're trying to figure out how you could best serve the Lord here at the church. And so I just gave her a list of people who have spiritual gifts for those things. So if you get a phone call, expect it. But here's the thing. So many of you would say, well, I used to do that. I've did that 44 years. And I'm past that stage. What? How are you past anything? At some point, it's not your business, it's whose? It's God's business. And so whether or not you should go to Kazakhstan, it's not your business, it's God's business. Whether or not you should tell your neighbor about Jesus, it's not your business, it's God's business. But you've got to be involved with Him to know what He wants. Now, this is the last thing I want to share with you. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. This is the verse that we normally turn to it. Anytime we want someone to volunteer, Pastor, this is where we go. Because in Isaiah chapter 6, you find Isaiah having a vision. I think we're going to start in verse, 9? Because I want to start, or 7, maybe it's 7. 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Lord, here I am. Send me. Boy, that way, he's a godly man, ain't he? That boy is godly. But I want to share with you this. God allowed Isaiah to see something that got him ready to go. See what time it is. We got time. We'll just leave that there. I want to sing this for you, and just I want you to imagine what it would be like to be Isaiah just for a moment. As this scene occurs, because this is what Isaiah said he saw.
I saw the Lord seated on His throne, exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple with glory, and the whole earth was filled, and the whole earth was filled, and the whole earth is filled with His glory. And the whole earth is filled, and the
so the Bible says that Isaiah was standing, verse 1, he's standing in the presence of God, and the glory of the Lord was there, and his train of his robe filled the entire temple with glory, with the presence of God. And so, once this happens, something just amazing has happened in Isaiah's life, and then God asks him the question, who will go for me? Well, here's the thing. I'm convinced that when we see God for who he really is, we cannot walk away the same. When we see a father who comes to a planet he created, to a people who spat in his face, to a people who absolutely he knew they would continue to live in sin, and yet he died for them anyway. He loved you that much. When you catch that, you start saying back to him, whatever it is you want, that's what I want to be about. You know, I remember the day I was 19 years of age. I walked an aisle when I was 12. I'll never forget the sermon. I remember my dad strictly saying, without Jesus, you're going to hell. And I said, I don't want to go to hell. Man, and I think I ran down the aisle. Now, I didn't understand. Now, I don't know if I was saved that day or not. I'll find out later. But I know that nothing changed. I wanted to not go to hell, but I didn't want to live for Jesus. And at 16, I remembered that, and I was at camp, and they made me feel guilty. And I walked an aisle, and I came home, and I said, Dad, I know I've been baptized already, but I don't think it counted. He said, why is that? I said, well, I don't think I was serious. Are you serious now? Oh, yeah, I'm serious now. Got baptized, and I think I was doing something stupid on the way out that day. Nothing changed. 17, it happened again. Nothing changed. 18, happened again, and nothing changed. I was dunked 4 times, Pastor. We're going to change that word, amen? I wasn't baptized 4 times. I was dunked 4 times. And at 19, I was in the military. I had every intention of getting out of the military, going to college, and going to the Olympics in the high jump. That was my goal. It would have never happened because I was the most undisciplined person in the world, but that was my dream. I had a girlfriend who I wanted to marry, and that was my dream. I got in the military, and almost immediately upon getting in, we're in training time, and I ruptured my knee. My dream is gone. Upon my dream being gone, my girlfriend sent me one of those Dear John letters, except it was really a Dear John letter. You'll catch that later. And I remember coming home for medical leave and driving down the road following this girl to eat dinner with her family, trying to plead with her to take me back. And when I knew it wasn't going to work, it took everything in me not to drive off the road into a tree to kill myself in front of her so that she would feel guilty. I'm serious. I mean, it sounds stupid, but that's where I was. I took a pistol to the guy's house who took my girl. If he'd answered the door, I'd have probably gone to jail. I was out of my mind. And I'll never forget, I went back to the military, and I was laying in my bed, and I was having nightmares every night, the same nightmare, the same nightmare, the same nightmare. And finally, one day, I said, God, I don't even know if you're real. I don't even know what's going on. I said, but Lord, if you'll take the dream away as a sign, I mean, if you'll just free me from that, I'll serve you the rest of my life. Well, that night, I slept good for the first time. So I woke up the next morning, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. And it was different than anything I had ever done. Because for the first time in my life, I didn't want to live for John. For the first time in my life, I was willing to say, I'll say goodbye to the girl. I'll just say bye to my dream. And Father, you can have and make anything of me you want. And that's the day the Lord probably said, you're going to Africa. But here's the thing. I've never cared anymore. It's not my concern. My concern is not about, it shouldn't be about what I'm doing and where I'm going. That's not my concern. My concern is, how much time can I spend with God so that he can show me where I need to be and what I need to do? And so I came home and I told Dad, I said, I've truly surrendered my life to Jesus. He said, well, then you need to be baptized. I said, dude, I have done that 4 times.
And he said to me, no, you haven't. He said, if you truly weren't really his, you've not been baptized. And so I got in the water and dove came. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't. No. Nothing magical happened. But I can guarantee you this. It was embarrassing to me to get back in there. Because I did it in front of the same people that saw me do it the other four times. And they already thought I had problems. But you know what? I didn't care. Because it truly was no longer my life. It was his. Here's the thing. What about those who've never heard the gospel? Number one, they can never have that testimony. They can never know what it's like to be comforted by a living God because they have no relationship with him. Can God work around their life? Absolutely. Can God do miracles around them? Absolutely. But can they have a personal relationship with Jesus without knowing his name? No, they cannot. And the people who will stand trial for that will be you and me. I know you don't want to hear that, but it's true. There will be a judgment for Christians to find out what we were worth. How valuable were you to God? How obedient were you? I'm just telling you, I don't want to be the one who's standing there going, I know you called me, but I wasn't willing. I know you wanted that in my life, but I was busy, God. I didn't trust you enough. I don't want to be that guy. My hope for you is this, is that I want you to rethink the way you look at missionaries. I want you to rethink the way you look at missions, the way you look at lost people. Because here's the thing, your neighbor needs to know about Jesus, but your neighbor can read and your neighbor has a Bible. If he doesn't, get him one and shut your mouth. Just give him a Bible. If they want to seek the Lord, they can seek the Lord through the Word. There are people who don't have a Bible, who have no witness, who have never seen a Christian, don't know what they look like, don't know what they act like. And when you show up, they go, why are you here? And then you get to explain what the love of Christ looks like. And watch this. It will change their life. But you know who really it'll change? It'll change your life. When you and I begin to do things that make a difference for the kingdom, our lives can't stay the same. Because we see eternal impacts. I'm going back, April, by the way, my date was changed. April 28th, I'm going back to Madagascar, where there were zero Christians in our mission field. This January, we had 56 leaders from the churches that began in the 2.5 years we were there. 56 leaders, not 56 Christians. 56 people who are planting churches amongst those people. That's exciting to me. I get to go back and train those people. And watch this. That could have never happened if I'd have been comfortable where I was in America. That had not been possible had I not listened and obeyed the Lord. Now, am I asking you to go to Madagascar and be a full-time missionary? No, I am not. But I am saying, go get a passport. I'm saying, get a passport and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want of my life? Because listen to me closely as I close. If we don't tell them about Jesus, they will never know him. They will spend eternity in hell. And it won't be because they didn't want to know. It'll be because we didn't get to them. And finally, for those of you who are so excited about the end times coming, the Bible says he will come when everyone has had an opportunity to hear. He says once they hear, then the end will come. So you want to usher it in? Go get a passport. And ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? And finally, would you just make it a point to do something? Here's the thing. You can throw money at stuff and it's not a big deal. Would you make it a matter of prayer to pray for people who don't know Jesus across the world? Would you just pray for them every single day? Make it a matter of prayer. When you pray over your meal, pray for people who don't know the gospel, who have no access. And see if God doesn't change your mind about what needs to happen. It might not be for you to go. It might not be for you. I don't know what the answer is going to be. Because the truth is, no answer makes sense. No answer is going to fix the problem. But God has an answer. But we got to spend time with him to figure it out. My prayer is that you would pray about it. You would pray about missions. Pray about people who need to know Jesus. But listen, finally, more than anything, that you would spend time enough with him that it would matter to you. Out of sight, out of mind only happens because we're not in the mindset of Christ. Right? Amen? That is the mindset of Christ, to win the nations for him. And so my prayers is that you would spend time with God praying about that so that God could change your mind and that he could tell you what part you're to play in fixing the world. Because the only fix isn't Trump, it's not Obama, it's not peace in the Middle East. The only answer is Jesus. And until we tell them, until they know about it, there's no chance. Let's pray together.